You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Rock chemistry.
Welcome to the Depth Chart Podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Maggard. I'm joined by Nick Roush in sunny Orlando, Florida. Andy Murray and Jay George are efforting. Both of them are kind of away from places they get good signals. Nick, what's the vibe in Orlando surrounding the Cats before the Citrus Bowl?
Well, you know, this is the first day that it hasn't been beautiful sunny weather. Today is a walkthrough day. It is the Thursday morning when we're recording, so we're 2 days out. Cat's got a walkthrough today, but man, it's been you mentioned it in the KSR football podcast how your trip was actually kind of defined by the prep.
Yeah,
and I've been getting a lot of similar vibes from the team. Their goal was to be game ready before they ever left. And what I mean left, before they ever left Kentucky, they were like, we need to be ready to play by the time we get to Florida. And they feel comfortable in their game plan. They feel like they left on, you know, at the right time. And now they are, they're enjoying it. And not in like a, oh man, like let's just go ride some roller coasters. Yes, they are riding roller coasters, but I think for a lot of them, it's a really good bonding experience, because when you're at home, you're at home. But when you're on the road and you're staying in the same hotel as everybody else, like it's a good time getting to spend time with one another. And I think they're really soaking that in right now.
Yeah, you know, we talked on the KSR football podcast, but for those that didn't listen to that one, the thing that Kentucky did when the Cats beat Penn State a couple of years ago was had the best practice of the year. It was lively, it was excited, it was heated, and I think with bowl practice, Nick, I think the team that has the most normalcy at times wins, along with who wants to be there. There's a lot of normalcy right now going on for Kentucky, and I'll give you an example.
Okay.
At programs across the country, players that have entered the transfer portal are no longer with the team.
Right.
I watched a little bit of Oregon last night,
whoa,
and I recognized two players one on their defense and then the quarterback, and the running back, three. That was about it. I mean, they had so many opt-outs and players in the portal. It was just a shell of the team, but that carries on to practice, okay, leading up to practice. There's normalcy because the majority of players that are in the transfer portal for Kentucky are at the bowl site practicing mm-hmm. with the team. So it's not like Kentucky's down there without a bunch of guys that they're used to being around, right? I mean, their dudes are down there. They're friends and their teammates before they go on to their next spot in the portal. So that's an example of normalcy. And point two, Kentucky staying in the same hotel as it did last time at the Citrus Bowl. There's some normalcy there. There's some familiarity there. And what you try to do, you try to eliminate the factors that are unknown when you travel as a team to a bowl site. So one of the knowns is that the transfer portal guys were there. They're going to play, or they're at least practicing. And two, Kentucky's at a familiar hotel. The operation, the dining facility, everything is the same. So there is some carryover from the last game at the Citrus Bowl. So yeah. Anytime you can gain advantages in the little things, the things that you'll never know, unless we're talking about them now, folks will never know about, really helps in preparation as you go into a ball game against a 10-win Iowa team. Nick, I know there was some bulletin board material. Riley Moss. Riley Moss.
Who has four interceptions and doesn't even lead their team in interceptions.
Yeah, let's get into this a little bit. This was not just some random dude that said that.
Yeah.
That, you know, this was an all Big Ten cornerback for Iowa with four interceptions that made – what was the remarks? Kentucky hadn't made a bowl in quite some time or something of that nature.
Well, he was like, you know, they're going to come ready to play. I mean, they haven't played in a bowl game in how long? So, you know, they're going to come out and hit us in the mouth, and we're going to hit them back, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that was just a lack of awareness by Moss. I've watched the comments. I don't think there was any malice intended. I just think it was just a lack of awareness. But that's something that Mark Stoops can use. You know, with these two teams, there's not a lot of built-in hatred. You know, there's a lot of respect and love, which there should be. But now I think that, you know, you instantly saw Vince Merrill tweet at the players, like, you know, okay. Anything that Kentucky can use to his advantage. Last time out, it was James Franklin, right? It was James Franklin
who created that.
Yeah, now Riley Moss gives Kentucky a little bulletin board material, something that the Cats needed, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and I think the thing too, like, you're right, Freddie. This is the first time that these two teams have ever played before. There's not commonality. I don't think Riley Moss is watching SEC football when he's not watching, you know, his team. So that part is like, it was a throw. Like, I even found the full video. In most of the video, they're just asking him about the Senior Bowl and asking him about a lot of other things. Like, and eventually he gets to his, all right, you've got to talk about the bowl game now. And him sharing why he was excited. But you know what, though? It doesn't matter, because that's all this team wants, needs. They love getting a good amount of like, they're very good at playing with a chip on their shoulder. And though that this doesn't – like, if you needed this to get motivated for the game, then you have other problems. But it does add to it, and it's something else that they can put in their pocket. And I like when they have something like this to I think sometimes it gets a little ridiculous whenever some Kentucky fans will just start tagging people like, "Did you see what he said? Did you see what he said?"
Yeah.
But this was hilarious to see Vince do that, and to his own guys, to which Wandale responded. He's like, "Well, he's kind of right about me, but I know he ain't talking about y'all."
Yeah, I mean, again, Riley Moss is a player that I respect. He's a very good football player, going to the Senior Bowl, going to play in the NFL. And we, as far as most of the people listening to this podcast, you and I, our lives revolve around the SEC, and it's hard to imagine anybody else's life that does not revolve around the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there was malice. I don't think it was an intended shot. However, last time out, Kentucky really did not like Penn State at all. James Franklin added to that, and it was two teams. Well, I don't know. I can't speak for Penn State, but Kentucky did not like Penn State.
Right.
And you know me, Nick. I'm not the type of guy that talks about what happens in the locker room for me stays in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this and just give you a general sense of that. Mark Stoops' pregame speech – or pregame hotel leaving speech didn't last very long, and it was heated, and that team got on the bus with bad intentions. Let's just put it that way. And this team, we'll see if that works. But you know, let's take a minute. I know bowl games are who wants to be there, and you know, so many factors, opt outs, transfers. You know, let's talk about the teams for a minute. And we're going to keep this one kind of short because I know you're busy down there and I don't want to take away from your time in Orlando. But Iowa is a team with three losses. In those losses, they averaged 5 points in those three losses.
Ooh.
So, losses to Michigan, 42-3 over to Michigan, 27-7 against Wisconsin, 24-7 against your Purdue Boilermakers. So in the three losses that Iowa has this year, it averaged 5.6 points per game and it allowed 31. So, and if you look at this Iowa schedule, I don't know if there's a quality win on there. A lot like Kentucky. I mean, there's mm-hmm. some name wins, but I guess you would have to say beating Iowa State 27-17 was somewhat of a quality win. And then beating a 7-5 Penn State team, that could be considered a quality win, I guess. But perception of this Iowa team does not match the reality, especially if we're talking about offense.
Especially
you think about Iowa, you think about Iowa, you think, oh man, they're going to run the ball all over the place. When in fact they're only averaging 120 yards on the ground per game, Nick. And that's not a lot, passing about 177 or a little bit more than that in the air, less than 300 total yards. But Iowa does have some, all Big Ten players. And mm-hmm. two of those are on the offensive line. Kyler Schott is a guard who's very good. And then arguably the best center in, you know, over a decade in Tyler Linderbaum. That's Iowa's best offensive players. Tyler Goodson, the running back that rushed for over 1,000 yards, is out. He opted out. With Goodson, Nick, Iowa only averaged 3 yards a carry. So you want to think about Iowa as being this great running team where, in fact, they're not very good at it.
Freddie, I got to tell you that in all the press conferences I've sat through, I've never wanted to just cackle. I could not believe what I was hearing when Brian Ferentz was asked, what's your offensive identity? And he proceeded to go on this diatribe. I mean,
I read it. Yeah.
Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah, I read your post. It was very well written, Nick.
He just kept going on. Well, our offensive identity, we're a three-phase football team.
Yeah.
We need the other two phases to help us because we're challenged in this one. I mean, he basically said, we need defense and special teams to bail us out, and we just need to flip the field for them. That's our job.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that because I will say this. Iowa does have a very good tight end. One of the best Kentucky's faced this year, Sam Laporta. He is not the dynamic Brock Bowers at Georgia, but he is a very good tight end. 46 catches, nearly 600 yards, a couple touchdowns, averaging 12 yards a catch. Kentucky is going to have to find an answer for him because he is going to be effective. And Iowa, even though doesn't run the ball that well, it lives off the play-action pass. That it's run the football, play-action pass to Laporta, the tight end. Another tight end, Luke Latchy is a freshman. He's another tight end. So that's what Iowa will want to do.
Well, and to your point, real quick, Freddie, that puts stress on the linebackers. It's going to be a big game for DeAndre Square, big game for Jaquez Jones, who's been a little banged up, dealing with some injury stuff. Hopefully he's good to go. Because that if you can take that part of their offense away, then you don't leave them with much except a fullback.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the linebackers, like you said, plus Yusuf Corker, the safeties and nickel, Devontae Robinson, I think, has a lot to do with that. Vito Tisdale will have a lot to do with that. So I think Kentucky's strength in the pass defense is in the middle of the football field, and it's going to have to be because that's really the only weapon that Iowa has that scares me or would scare a defense is the tight end Laporta because he is a very good football player. When the coordinator talked about having a three-phase football team and talked about balance and talked about field position and complementing the special teams and the defense. Here's what he means. Iowa has won 10 games by forcing 30 turnovers and scoring a lot of points off turnovers and special teams. The strength of this Iowa team is a defense that leads the country with 24 interceptions and has forced has recovered six fumbles. So turnovers really is what has gotten Iowa to this point, and scores on special teams. So I understand what the coordinator was saying, but it's kind of, like you said, it's kind of funny a little bit that he would say that.
Right.
But that the Iowa defense is the best offense that the Hawkeyes have. And that's what it's relied on.
It reminded me of times, like, not to the same extreme, but it's not so different than when some of the Eddie Grant offenses that were just, we're going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And our defense is going to do a lot of work like that. It's of that vein, except even more extreme in how much they rely on their defense to make plays for them.
It reminds me, Nick, of Kentucky last year. You know, with all those turnovers and scores off points off turnovers.
I mean, hell, Kentucky won two games last year just off of pick sixes, Tennessee and Mississippi State.
Exactly. And that's why this Iowa team reminds me a lot of Kentucky from last year. Really good on special teams. Kalen Trueback is an all Big Ten kicker. He's very accurate. The Big Ten is a field goal league, and he is very good at his job. Special teams also. Charlie Jones is an all Big Ten returner. He's going to have to, you know, bowl games are just like the rest of the games, turnover special teams. Big plays from Iowa. That goes back to making up for that Iowa offense that only averages less than 300 yards a game. Big plays on special teams. Big plays on defense. If Kentucky can hang on to the football and not give up a special team score, I really like the Cats' chances. Let's talk about this Iowa defense. Got some all Big Ten players. Defensive end Van Valkenburg is a defensive end that's forceful, 50 tackles, 12 and a half tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, 8 quarterback hurries. I think he is going to be a player that Kentucky's going to have an answer for. And then the defensive backs, Riley Moss with a video, 4 interceptions. Iowa's cash position, which is the nickel position, that hybrid linebacker safety position. Dane Belton has 5 interceptions. The other corner, Jamar Harris, 3 interceptions. And sound linebackers that make plays. I was not, you know, if you look at, and we talked about this in the earlier podcast, you look at Kentucky's last game compared to its next game. Iowa is what Louisville defense isn't. It's sound. They're not going to be out of position. They're going to make tackles when they're around the football. They're not going to blow coverages. They're not going to bust in the back end. And they're not going to be misaligned pre-snap. So this Iowa defense is very well coached. It's disciplined, veteran. And Kentucky, to score points, is going to have to beat that, right? Iowa's not going to misalign and not have anybody responsible for Will Levis on the quarterback draw a couple of times like Louisville did, by misalignment and busted coverage on the back end with no safety support. That's not going to happen. Kentucky's going to have to go out and beat Iowa when the Cats have the football. Now, defensively, Iowa only gives up 19 points a game, which is good. It's very good. It's a good defense. 113 yards on the ground, but does give up 213 in the pass. If you look at Kentucky, the offense that we saw in November, now granted, we have to make the point.
You got to adjust Kentucky for the played, defenses.
Kentucky played very bad defenses in November. Let's just be honest about it. So, but Nick, but still averaged 500 yards a game and 40 plus points. That has to speak for something, right? That has to speak for this Kentucky offense. Will Levis said this week in preparation that he does not feel that this team has played a complete game. Will we see that on Saturday against Iowa? There's a good chance we will.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that I'm excited, because I think that this Kentucky offense is for real, and it will take a performance like a team against a defense like Iowa to legitimize it. But like I certainly think they can. no disrespect to my cousin's team at Purdue, but, you know, I think Will Levis is a better quarterback than Aiden O'Connell. I'd take Wandale, put him right up there against David Bell. Like, and they certainly have better running backs and a better offensive line than Purdue. And Purdue made him look silly. They left points on the board and won 24-7. You could,
yeah.
I think Kentucky can score 31 points in this game. I really do.
I do too. I do too, Nick. But have you ever seen, and you've been doing this a while now, have you ever seen a difference in turnover margin for Iowa, plus 14 for Iowa and a minus 13 for Kentucky? Have you ever seen a 27 differential in turnover margin?
It just doesn't.
I mean, I have not.
It's ridiculous. You know? You do have to give Kentucky credit. Like, I don't want to be jinxing it, but like they did in that month of November really shore up the turnovers. I think you had in the Tennessee game was the one exception. You had the pick six, and did Chris fumble it inside the five in that game too, or is that a different one?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since then, I can't recall a turnover. I might be off, but I feel like ball security issues have they've kind of started to move on from it. I even asked Chris too, like, you know, is the fumble stuff, like, do you have to focus on it to not do it, or do you just not think about it? He's like, I don't know. Like, the more I think about it, the more I'll do it. So, like, you just got to move on.
Yeah. What? Since you're down there in Orlando, Nick, what are some things that you've been around the team?
Uh-huh.
What are some factors? What are some things that you've observed that jumped out at you?
Well, the funniest thing I observed today was that Will Levis has taken a picture with Lou Holtz and an alligator in the same day. So he's been with two dinosaurs. Some of the stuff that I'm fascinated with are just like who hangs out with who, because I know that sounds like kind of dumb, but the position groups do kind of gravitate toward one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just cause you spend the most time with him. Levis, I think what's most striking to me about Will Levis is this dude really is a competitive freak. I mean, he is a competitive freak. And like, he was the only guy that brought a golf club to Top Golf because he wanted, you know, like, because he wanted to bring his A game.
I would say that he was forced to do that because you don't want your quarterback to get blisters the week of the game.
Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that. Even if it is his non-throwing arm, you still don't want him to get blisters.
I would say that Lee and Cohen had something to do with that decision.
I hadn't thought of that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I also think that it's really cool how the former players are, you know, welcomed in with open arms here. You know, Juice and Jeff Bidette were at practice on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, I mean, it was a crowd. There was a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, like, a lot of those guys were before my time, but, like, I noticed Johnny Williams was there, you know, some Brooks players, big turn.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot of guys, you know, kind of like your age and you know, in the early 90s kind of era, a lot of those guys are making their way down here for the bowl game too.
Yeah, a bunch of dudes from my era are showing up today and tomorrow. So, you know, again, Adam brought up such a great point about program alignment, and it's not always been that way, Nick. I can tell you as a former player, it's really not. And, you know, we talked about it in the other podcast that this year you had three legacy Wildcats sign. I mean, stuff like this matters that Susan Lacks is so wonderful at her job. And she, you know, information and communication is a key or keys for a lot. You can just say that about anything, not just football, but
right.
We're getting messages about, okay, you know, former players call this number. Here's where we're going to practice.
Yeah.
You know, this is New Year's Eve. This is where we're staying. New Year's Eve, the former players are having the party. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that you know, to me, that warms me up because it's what it's supposed to be. And when Mark Stoops says it takes all of us, it really does. I mean, it really and truly does. And, you know, even though guys my age played on teams that did not go to bowls because there were only five or whatever, you know, with winning records, still, I mean, this is, you know, we're living through, you know, I'm speaking as a former player now, we're living through this team that's just not, you know, that team with that coach, with those coordinators playing in a bowl game. You know, that's our teammates, that's our coach, that's our coordinator down there. And people like me feel a part of it. And that, the fact that Kentucky has got to that point with just the former player aspect, Nick, is something that I thought that I'd never see. I know a lot of people say, well, I never thought I'd see the day that Kentucky would win or possibly could win 10 games in 3 or 4 year stretch. I didn't think it was possible in my lifetime that former players would be not only this involved, but asked and invited by the program, people at UK, to be this involved. And that says a lot, man. I mean, that means a lot because guys like me, and you know, there's a lot of us, we're the ones that donate to the school. We're the ones that mm-hmm. buy season tickets. Yeah. We're the ones that we're in our communities, no matter if I'm in Versailles, Andy's in Northern Kentucky, Jay's in Louisville, we're talking about Kentucky. You know, that's free advertising. That's free marketing for the brand that is now UK football. And it just makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, speaking of communication, our communication to you, if you're coming down to Orlando, the pep rally, the official pep rally is going to be at Point Orlando, which, if you see the big Ferris wheel, it's exactly 1 mile south of the I in Orlando. I made the walk last night. It was about a 20-minute walk from the bars and restaurants down there. And there's a ton of bars and restaurants nearby. There's a main event, which is like it used to be a Dave and Buster's, but it's one of those kind of video game places. A lot of different bars and stuff to watch the college football playoff games that night. So 4:45 is when it's all going down. That's where the BBM will be gathering. I know earlier on in the day at noon, the UK Alumni Association is hosting a watch party for that game between Kentucky and High Point at noon at the main event right there in Point Orlando. So that's going to be kind of headquarters for the game. And then the following day, the catwalk is at 10:45, and if you get there early, over at the baseball field, it's called Tinker Field. It's directly next to Camping World Stadium. They've got like a free. What's the word I'm looking for? They're calling it a fan fest, but like if you got kids, they got inflatables, face painting, all that stuff. You know, you can buy your food and drink there. They'll have beverages and food for sale. So you don't have to, I know it can be kind of a pain dealing with parking or doing a tailgate when you're not tailgating in your usual tailgate spot. So that can be your kind of, okay, well, you know, we can still go to the catwalk and we can still, you know, have some cold drinks and some food before we go into the game.
Yeah, it sounds like fun, Nick. And there's a lot of people heading that way.
I think a lot were coming down today, Freddie. I think that's what it was. But I saw a good amount watching the basketball game last night. So,
starting to
pick up.
And then there's another basketball game. Was that tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow at noon, Friday at noon. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that'll be something that folks can gather. Nicky, I want to get you out of here, but I want to talk a little bit about this Kentucky offense and what we've seen year one. With Lee and Cohen and with Will Levis and all the players. But you have to start with Darian Kennard, consensus All-American. He is in the conversation, Nick, in my book, as far as being an all-timer at the program. He is certainly in the conversation with Warren Bryant, you know, Damani Dawson, Sam Ball. You can go back as far as you want to. But he is certainly in the conversation as far as being the best offensive lineman to play at Kentucky. And there's not been very many consensus All-Americans, and he is. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this offense a little bit, Nick. And Kentucky's averaging 33.3 points per game. That's up from 21 last year. So up 12 there. Man. Rushing yards.
And I think too that folks moving up 12 points, like that does sound, it sounds like a lot, but if you look in the statistical categories, like where they have all 130 teams ranked, 12 points is like 50 spots. It is a significant leap. So I just didn't want to gloss over that because that is
a big jump. That's two touchdowns. That's two touchdowns,
two touchdowns a game. That's crazy.
Two touchdowns. Yeah. Even with Kentucky's emphasis last year and really the only thing it did good was run the football. Kentucky averaged 197 yards a game last year. That's up to 206 this year. And that's with a couple games that really did not – Kentucky couldn't establish much on the run. I mean, Rodriguez was going through the fumble issues and one issue that we didn't know about. So that's an increase. Passing, 103 yards more this year than last. Last year, I mean, it's hard to imagine to go back. Kentucky was averaging 123 pass yards a game. That's hard to get your hands around. You know, to wrap your hands around 123 yards. That's where Mark Stoops knew he had to have a change. Now that's up to 225 yards. Total yards, 318 last year, 431 this year. Again, a huge jump. But I think with this offense, Nick, the number that jumps out at me, Kentucky scored 17 touchdowns in the red zone last year. Some frustrating losses for the Cats last year came on the fact that the Cats could not score in the red zone, could not punch it in the red zone. This year, Kentucky scored 37 touchdowns out of 50 trips to the red zone. 37 out of 50.
I want to say they're fourth nationally in touchdown percentage.
Yeah, that's – that is the number that jumps out at me.
Because they turned the biggest weakness into arguably their greatest strength.
Yeah. And again, it takes time. You know, Kentucky just didn't go through a coordinator change. Kentucky went through a personality change, where throwing the football was out of desperation instead of on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it was not just a hope and a prayer when the ball went in the air to this year. Okay, what could happen? I mean, even though the big play touchdowns lessened as the season went on, but still – there was a lot of explosives through the air, and that happens when you have a quarterback like Will Levis. You know, I was tough on Will Levis. We talked about that because he started out really hot against Louisiana Monroe. Then it caught up to him for a little bit, right? I mean, there was a game where he threw for less than 100 yards, right at 100 yards. You know, it was a struggle, but man, when he got it, he got it. And in November, he really got it. And he just took off. And I think, his decision to come back was not a black and white decision. There were some interest, especially in this year's quarterback class, not being very good. There was some getting back and forth there with the NFL. So for him to come back, I think is nothing but a bonus for Kentucky, right? I mean, that has to bode well. And I think it would factor in maybe potential incoming transfers.
Yep.
Players' decisions on whether to go pro or come back, Wandale being one. I think that's going to factor, don't you?
No, definitely. Especially that Wandale decision that we didn't know was going to even be a decision going into the year. Having Levis around and also having Levis as a guy who – I forgot who made this comment. It might have been Max – talking about this team is like it helps when your best players are also good dudes, and Levis is a good dude. He's a real thoughtful guy. The stuff that he's doing to help the state for tornado relief, I mean, like that sets the tone for everybody else, and I think it's important to have that guy because as soon as he stepped on campus, he was a leader of the team. Having him around for another year to really grow in that role, I mean, it's important, and people will consider Kentucky. Kentucky's going to get hyped up a ton going into this game, and it's going to be deserved because of what Will Levis.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been a game changer. I mean, he really has. And it just goes to show, and you can see this in the NFL. I mean, if you got a quarterback, you got a chance in any game. So, you know, he's been tremendous. He has been tremendous. Well, Nick, thank you for jumping on here with me, man. I don't want to keep you. It's dreary and finally a little chilly here, man. I had to turn my air conditioner on. It's been too warm up here for me. I don't like that. I want it cold. But thanks for jumping on, man. I hope you have a good time. You and Adam are going to have a lot of great stuff on the website and cover the game. And y'all have fun at Camping World Stadium.
Oh, man, I'm excited. Just got to get this fog out. Of course, the one afternoon that, you know, we're kind of getting off, it's foggy. Cloudy.
Yeah.
But it should be a great time. I'm excited to see all the Kentucky fans down there.
Yeah. You know, and I want to add this. I talked about the week of preparation. I talked about Mark Stoops' speech at the hotel and how that – I mean, it was – the team got on the bus with bad intentions. You know what else helped that win over Penn State, Nick? Catwalk. The catwalk, man.
Dude, that was catwalk, awesome.
Yeah. That was awesome. And trust me, you know, and I'm a fan. I can talk to – and I never tell fans how to fan. You know, that's my rule.
Yep.
But man, that's important. That means a lot. If you're in the city – try to get to the catwalk because those guys feed off that. They really do. That sets the tone because they get it at the hotel, then they get in their own world with the music and everything on the bus ride, and then that if the catwalk's electric, that sends them into the stadium with the right frame of mind to beat Iowa on Saturday.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait to see y'all at Camping World Stadium to watch the Cats take down the Hawkeyes.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Hope you like us, subscribe to us, tell your friends about us, and we will talk to you next week, hopefully to discuss a big win over Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. Go Cats, go Kroger.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.